The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Many people make plans and have goals as to where they want to be in a financial sense a few years down the road or by retirement age. They make plans for their kids' education and where they want to live after retirement and what they want to do. They may plan to travel or just have a plot of land and do a lot of relaxing, gardening, raise animals, or a number of other things they make plans for. But the point is, they plan, they think, and they work toward their plans. They have goals. They prepare, while many others just seem to go through life aimless, not thinking, no planning, and no goals, which isn't a smart thing to do. Goals and plans may not always work out exactly the way you like, but most usually they will unless circumstances beyond your control interferes. Plans and goals come to pass because that's what you have been thinking about, and what you think about, you are working toward that end. Now, we have been speaking mainly in a physical and a financial sense, and that is pleasing to God for you to have goals and plans and for you to work toward goals and plans. Notice what God has to say in Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 6, mainly speaking to those that don't have goals and plans, those that don't want to get up and go on and do something. It says this, Proverbs 6, verse 6, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." In other words, God is saying that the ant is a worker, and the ant can't really have goals and plans like a human being does, but the point is, the ant does do something, and that's what God expects humanity to do in a physical, a financial, a mental, an emotional, and above all, a moral and a spiritual sense. Making plans to provide for self and family is biblical and well-pleasing to God. God says a good man saves up for his kids and grandkids. But God warns about letting anything come between you and God. Don't let anything be a god, a false god, that would take your time and mind away from serving the one true God. In other words, don't have goals and plans to the degree that you forget about God and forget about the true plan and the true goal that you need to have for eternal life and in serving God. All other plans and goals must be secondary to the goal of entering the kingdom of God. Now, with that in mind, where do you want to be at the end of your life? What do you want to be prepared for at death? Do you want to be prepared to rule and reign with Christ on the earth? Do you want eternal life and a position in the kingdom and government of God, which will be established on this earth? You should, and if you do, you have to make plans just like you plan for other things, and you have to work those plans. Now, God has already laid bare some plans as to where you will be when you retire from this life, that is, when you die. God has two plans that are laid bare in His Word. You can choose either one. Now, there is a third plan as well, or choice, that you can choose as well. That is, if you are given a chance in this life, or in the millennium, or after the second resurrection, to know the true God and the plan of salvation, and you stubbornly and knowingly reject it, you choose no part of it. Yes, if you choose no part of God's way, notice where that plan or that choice will lead. Notice the warning that God gives in at least two places in His Word. Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 4, has this to say, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame." Now, God is speaking about those that have known the right way, those that have had God's Holy Spirit and have been taught the plan of salvation, have embraced it, have known it. Chapter 10, verse 26 of the book of Hebrews. "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Now, my friend, did you catch that? It says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth." It doesn't say after you have had the knowledge of the truth. Well, it does say that, but the word received puts an altogether different meaning to it. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. And the word receive here denotes the fact that you have received, you have accepted God's way. You have accepted His Holy Spirit. God has given you His Holy Spirit, the earnest or the down payment on eternal life, and that ingredient that opens your heart, mind, and understanding to understand God's Word and His way and the plan of salvation. Now, you can have knowledge, and yet, if you haven't received that knowledge, if you haven't taken it in, ingested it, and digested it, so to speak, then God will not hold you accountable. You haven't had your chance for salvation. But if you have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Verse 27, going on here, says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? In other words, God is speaking about those that had received his word, the knowledge of his word, the knowledge of the truth, and they had known the right way. Those that have been called and have received God's Holy Spirit, those that repented and were baptized and had received God's Spirit, and they began to walk in newness of life, began to overcome sin, began to come out of the ways of this world, had turned their life over to God the Father and Jesus Christ. God says if you sin willfully after all that, says there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Eternal. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's exactly what you do if you deliberately reject God's way of life and his plan of salvation after you have received it. It is a fearful thing for you. Your end is going to be fearful, which will be burned to death in the lake of fire. Yes, that will be your end. These scriptures are speaking to the ones which have their chance for salvation or eternal life are to be saved, and they just deliberately refuse to live by God's way. Now, we don't want to choose that plan. We don't want to be burned in the lake of fire. Burned to death, that is. Not just burned, but burned to death. But God says that will be the choice that some will make, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be for you or me or anyone else, for that matter. Notice in Malachi 4, beginning in verse 1, God tells us what will happen to people that fit that category. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Eternal of Hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch, never to be resurrected, never to have life again, but will be as though they have never been. But what a terrible, agonizing death that will be. Verse 2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of Hosts. That is very plain and clear as to what happened to the wicked, or the sinner which refuses to repent and accept the sacrifice of Christ for their sins and live his way, that is, to live God's way. Now, we don't want to make that choice. There are two other plans or choices or goals that you may make, and they are based on when God calls you or gives you the opportunity to be saved, which could be in this life. And if it is, and you accept that call and opportunity, that is far the best choice or plan you can make and the best goal that you can have. You need to understand this fact, and that is that God isn't calling everyone today. This is not the only day of salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that either. But if God does call you today and you stubbornly reject after you have had ample opportunity and you just make up your mind never to repent, then the lake of fire awaits you. Notice in John 6, verses 44 and 65, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Christ is saying that no one can come to him unless God the Father draws him. Verse 65, and he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Notice on the day of Pentecost what Peter had to say in Acts 2, beginning verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, Peter had told them in previous verses that it had been their sins that crucified Jesus Christ, that murdered Jesus Christ. And they were cut to the heart, and they wanted to know what to do. I hope that you feel the same way that those people did back in 31 A.D. there. Then Peter said to them in verse 38, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that is a requirement that you must meet if you want eternal life, if you want that number one goal. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Yes, as many as the Lord our God will call in this day and age, which is Satan's age. And as I said, God isn't calling everyone today. But if he does call you, my friends, don't turn it down. It's up to God as to whom he calls. You will know it if God is calling you. You will want to repent and change your direction. You will become very discontented with your lifestyle. You will feel remorseful. You will begin to loathe your ways. You will begin to understand the Word of God. Don't turn that call or invitation from God down. That would be a terrible mistake. Answer the call. That will be the best choice and plan you could ever make, which would be to let the goodness of God lead you to repentance. Notice what God has to say in Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Well, I see my time is up, my friend, but we'll pick this up in our next program. Keep listening. This is a topic that you need to understand. If you want to make the right choices and the right plans and have the right goal in this life and wind up in the kingdom and government of God, on the ground floor of the kingdom and government of God. And if you would like more understanding as to what should be your number one goal, your number one priority and plan, we invite you to request our free articles, Reap a Destiny and What Do You Expect from God, by calling the Marble Hill Church of God at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or you may go online, log on to our website to listen to pre-recorded programs and to order literature online at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program on this station and several others.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.